In May, six major companies filed for bankruptcy, and we've got a list. It's the business news headlines for Friday, the 29th day of May. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Remember the Trump postcard you got in the mail about coronavirus guidelines for America? Guess what that cost? Jail for small business owners? Really? Farm workers and COVID-19, the next shoe to fall. The Wall Street Report and the CDC has directions for redoing your office. No, really. Let's get into it.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. By the way, you need to know that we also do this on Sunday. Yeah, we will have the exclusive Insight on Business, the News Hour Week in Review on News Talk 1540 KXEL noon each Sunday. Yeah, so there. You want to follow us on Twitter? You can do that. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Well, temporary store closures, near zero travel demand, people shopping online even more as they're stuck at home. All of those things have added up to be the perfect storm for bankruptcy for some of the country's most recognizable consumer brands, and several have filed recently. We've kept track, and these six major brands all filed in May. Back on the 5th, Gold's Gym filed for bankruptcy protection. The 55-year-old company intends to exit bankruptcy by August and said it's absolutely not going anywhere. Gold's did shutter 30 locations in April, but doesn't intend to permanently close any more gyms. Car rental company Hertz filed for bankruptcy on May 22nd. The company also rents cars under the brands of Dollar, Thrifty, and Firefly. The company's been in business, get this, since 1918, when it set up shop with a dozen Ford Model Ts. Hertz has survived the Great Depression, World War II's nearly total halt of U.S. auto production, and numerous oil price shocks. By declaring bankruptcy, the rental car company says it intends to stay in business while restructuring its debt so it can emerge financially healthier. Coronavirus could be the final blow for the 118-year-old department store chain JCPenney. It was already struggling to overcome a decade of bad decisions, executive instability, and damaging market trends. JCPenney filed for bankruptcy on May 15th. The company has an agreement with most of its lenders that will allow it to attempt a turnaround plan to stay in business, but it will close 30%, or about 200, of its 846 U.S. stores. The company did not say how many of its 85,000 employees would lose their jobs as a result of the permanent store closings. J. Crew Group became the first U.S. national retailer to file for bankruptcy protection in May, as the coronavirus pandemic forced a wave of store closures. That company filed on May 4th. The company, which owns the preppy J. Crew and Madewell brands, expects to stay in business, and Madewell, the fast-growing denim brand that had been slated for an IPO, will remain part of the business. Luxury retailer Neiman Marcus, which filed for bankruptcy on May 7th, said the restructuring agreement with creditors will allow it to substantially reduce debt and position the company for long-term growth. The company's history goes back 113 years to its first store in Dallas, which still is its home base. The company also operates the Bergdorf Goodman and Last Call chains. Discount home goods retailer Tuesday Morning blamed the virus for prolonged store closures that caused what they're saying is an insurmountable financial hurdle. CEO Steve Becker said the business was thriving before the pandemic, but the resulting temporary store closures and employee furloughs had severe consequences on their business. The Dallas-based chain, which filed on May 27th, said it will permanently close approximately 230 of its nearly 700 U.S. stores. It was a tough tough month in May for retail. Say, do you remember getting that postcard that had written on it, quote, President Trump's coronavirus guidelines for America, end quote. Remember that? Well, now we're learning the cost of that program and who foot the bill. A Postal Service representative confirmed to Business Insider that the mailers, which were decried by government watchdog groups at the time as self-promotion, cost $4.6 million to print and another $23.4 million to mail. Now, that's a tiny sliver of the USPS's 2019 revenue of $71 billion, but it couldn't come at a worse time as the agency finances have been ruined by the coronavirus pandemic. The mailing was sent to every residential location, including post office boxes across the country. That amounted to 138 million addresses. Earlier in May, postal officials warned that the agency could run out of cash by September without further financial relief from Congress. And that is something Trump explicitly said he would not support unless it raises prices on customers like Amazon, which rely on the service to deliver packages to rural areas where it would lose money delivering itself. None of this is over. There's a cadre of lawmakers, both Republican and Democrat, that represent rural areas that are pressing the White House to move forward with some type of bailout for the Postal Service. Well, here's a story we bet you'd not heard. In Alameda County, California, Elon Musk may have gotten away with reopening his Tesla factory before it was allowed to do so. But Los Angeles is prosecuting more than 70 businesses so far for allegedly flouting COVID-19 rules. Those businesses include pet groomers, hair and nail salons, a car wash, a printer, a shoe shop, a textile store, a restaurant, a boxing gym, an electronics outlet, a motorcycle dealership, and at least 30 smoke shops. Penalties, if convicted, up to $1,000 in fines and 6 months in jail. And more prosecutions are in the pipeline. Now, despite looser rules in many other counties, in L.A. County, gyms, bars, movie theaters, barbers, and beauty salons must remain closed. Restaurants are restricted to takeout and delivery service. Retailers must comply with strict protocols governing in-store shopping, including face coverings, physical distancing, and limits on the number of customers. The county accounts for nearly half of the state's approximately 104,000 known COVID-19 cases and more than half of its approximately 4,000 reported deaths. Some small business owners facing criminal charges are crying foul. They were confused by evolving rules and received no warnings, they say. Some contend they shut down after the first visit from police officers, but they were still charged. You know, first it was meatpacking factories, and now it's farm workers who are testing positive for COVID-19 and once again disrupting the supply chain for food. Here's the story. All of the roughly 200 employees on a produce farm in Tennessee tested positive for COVID-19 this month. In New Jersey, more than 50 workers had the virus at a farm in Gloucester County, adding to nearly 60 who fell ill in neighboring Salem County. Almost 170 were reported to get the disease at a tomato and strawberry greenhouse complex in Oneida, New York. All of this underscores the latest coronavirus threat to America's food supply. Farm workers are getting sick and spreading the illness just as the U.S. heads into the peak of the summer produce season. In all likelihood, the cases will keep climbing as more than 500,000 seasonal employees crowd into buses to move among farms across the country and get housed together in cramped bunkhouse-style dormitories. Aside from the most immediate concern, that would be the grave danger that farmhands face, the outbreaks could also create labor shortages at the worst possible time. Why is that? Well, produce crops such as berries have a short lifespan, with only a couple of weeks during which they can be harvested. Now, if a farm doesn't have enough workers to collect crops in that window, they're done for the season, and the fruit will rot. A spike in virus cases among workers may mean shortages of some fruits and vegetables at the grocery store, and that will mean higher prices. Yet, something else to worry about. Well, it was a wild day on Wall Street as investors held their collective breaths with regard to potential increased tensions between the United States and China. In the end, the S&P 500 rose slightly, erasing losses earlier in the session as traders breathed a sigh of relief after President Donald Trump signaled no changes to the trade deal with China despite rising tensions. The U.S. equity benchmark finished the session up 0.4%, or 14 points, to 3,044. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell by 17 points, or 0.1%, to 25,383, as American Express and J.P. Morgan weighed on the stocks. The 30-stock index ended the day well off the lows, as it was down as much as 368 points. The NASDAQ Composite jumped by 1.2%, or 120 points, to end the day at 94.89 as chip stocks rallied. With this week's solid gains, the S&P 500 and Dow pushed their advance in May to 4.5% and 4.2%, respectively. The tech-heavy NASDAQ, well, that gained 6.7% this month. And finally, there is this. U.S. offices may need to make drastic changes in order to reopen safely during the pandemic. All of this according to new guidelines from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Turning conventional guidance on its head, they urge commuters to get this drive to work by themselves rather than carpooling or using public transit. Firms, they say, should then screen workers' temperatures and symptoms on arrival, while face coverings should be worn at all times and desks should be at least 6 feet apart. Perks like snack bins, common seating areas, and coffee bars are out, as are handshakes and fist bumps. So are you sure you don't want to keep working from home? Well, that's a wrap for today's edition of the Business News Headlines for all of us associated with this project. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Aaron Libby's in charge of sales and marketing. The voice of the Business News Hour is none other than Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. Remember, we will be back with you on Sunday at noon on News Talk 1540 KXEL with the Business Week in review. Till then, be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.